Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Well, good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. I'm Harold Herring, and my fine wife is on a special assignment. You know, yesterday and today and for a couple of days, we're going to be talking about money. And yesterday, we kind of taught on your money, I'll tell on you. Now, I know that most of the people who call on in every day, that you're familiar with this. But I was impressed of the Lord, and that's why we teach what we teach each day, direction of the Lord, to talk about money a little bit. And so here we go. Several things we need to talk about today. First off, money takes on your personality. The truth is that money is neither good nor bad. It simply amplifies what's in the heart of the one who controls it, the one who does it, who has it. For example, evil people will spend their money on evil things, while good people will spend their money on good things. There isn't any such thing as good money or bad money. Instead, there are good people with money and evil people with money. Our money decides how we'll spend it. It never does that. People talk like it does, but it does not. Money never decides how you'll spend it. It buys and accomplishes whatever we decide. So that's a fundamental we need to get a hold of. Now here's another one. This one may be hard to hear, but listen to me and listen to the scripture. Nobody listens to poor people. I have a friend who always says the devil is dumb. Personally, I don't think he's as dumb as he wants us to believe. In fact, I'm convinced the devil studies the Bible. I believe he knows things about the Bible that many Christians don't understand. One thing the devil has learned from Scripture is that nobody listens to poor people. Unfortunately, most believers don't know this truth. Ecclesiastes 9. 4 through 16. Ecclesiastes 9, 14 through 16. There was a little city and a few men within it. And there came a great king against it and begged and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The Bible clearly states that a poor man may be wise, but most of the time, no one hears his wisdom. Think about this. If a poor man came to your city this week to tell the truth, a few people would go to his meeting and listen to it. Remember, if a rich man came to your city to tell a lie, thousands would probably go to hear it. The devil knows that as long as the church walks in insufficiency, poverty, and death, we will never gain the attention of the world's population. Our Bible says it's because no one listens to poor people. Here's another fundamental key we need to understand. Money won't guarantee happiness. Now, please understand, I'm not saying money guarantees happiness. There are extremely wealthy people who are very unhappy. It's not uncommon to hear of rich folks commonly hear of them committing suicide or needing the care of psychiatrists and dealing with ulcers and rebellious children and divorce even among the richest people. I also know poor people who may experience many of the same adversities. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and the snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction, perdition. And as it says in 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10, 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, does that mean we should not seek to be rich? Absolutely not. The Bible tells us that a person can be prosperous without experiencing all the sorrows that accompany wealth. The blessing of the Lord did make us rich. He adds no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22. You know, one of the most significant characteristics of God's prosperity plan is that it does not include misery. You can have wealth while enjoying a wonderful spouse, fine children, and peace of mind. God's system of increase offers riches without sorrow. If, this is a big if, we follow his plan and keep our motives pure. Speaking of motives, let's talk about money and motives. Some people want money for the wrong reasons, so they try to disguise their true intentions for receiving. They may give the appearance of funding God's programs, but no matter how carefully they cover their real purposes, God knows the truth. The Bible tells us that Jesus searches and discerns the heart of every believer. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This verse tells us an intense search that goes on inside every believer. The word of God discerns the thoughts and motives of every believer, even to the most secret intentions of the soul and spirit. The context shows, well, it shows that this verse is not just speaking of the written word of God. It goes much deeper. It speaks of the Lord Jesus himself, viewing our intentions moment by moment, as we see in the following verses from Hebrews 4:13-14. Neither is there any creature that is manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Now, the Gospel of John verifies our Lord's ability to discern our intention. John 2:24-25. Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in the man. Our motive for receiving prosperity is the most important factor in God's decision to bless us. Before he will release wealth to us, our true purpose must go beyond just satisfying our own selfish desires, if you will. Not only will your money tell on you, God knows your reason for wanting money. But we must have an inner desire to accomplish God's plan over and above our own desires if we want to receive from him. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we have pure motives, we're on the way to becoming a good steward. The way we use the money God gives us will tell on us. It either tells of our faithfulness or it tells of our disobedience and foolishness. Yes, money talks. The purpose of prosperity, well, God wants us to be financially prosperous. However, he wants to bless us for a specific purpose. Listen to Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, King James. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God wants us to be a blessing, but it's obvious that we must first receive blessings before we can become a blessing. Think about that. It's only when we have financial blessings that we can be a financial blessing. We need to always remember that money is a resource to help us accomplish the will of God. Therefore, the more money you have, the more you'll be able to accomplish for God right here on planet Earth. And yes, money is an important subject. My hope, my prayer, as we always teach about money, is that the people who hear our voices are beginning to see that a biblical understanding of money is critical to the advancement and success of our Christian life. Without it, we could very well miss the important part of God's personal desire for our life. Since the Bible contains so many scriptures about how God's people should handle money, it stands to reason that we should carefully study this subject. Remember, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The only way the church will step into the full shower of God's financial blessings to understand the scriptural truths about money. For instance, one, money is neither good nor bad. It takes on the personality of its owner. Two, our money represents our lives. Three, nobody listens to poor people. Four, God earnestly desires to bless his children financially. God wants to bless us exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That's in Ephesians 3:20. If we have not been faithful with our money, well, we need to repent and recommit ourselves and commit the money that we're in charge of to God. Here's a prayer of confession and commitment. Pray this prayer from the heart to reestablish your stewardship today. And you may not, obviously, you can take it all down, so you can either listen to it again, or you can send me an email and I'll email it to you, herald@heraldhearing.com. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me because I've not been a faithful steward of the money you've given me. I thank you that when I confess my sin, according to 1 John 1:9, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I realize that all my blessings come from you. I commit this day, December 4th, 2018, I commit this day to be faithful with my finances. The Bible says the tithe belongs to you. Therefore, I make a new commitment to be a tither. The Bible also says that I should give generous offerings. Therefore, I commit to give generous offerings in the amounts and to the places and ministries that you direct. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of being your steward and sowing into your kingdom. The Word of God says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Show me and give into your bosom. That's Luke 6:38. So, Father, I believe your word. And I know Luke 6:38 will come to pass in my life each time I give. I confess before you and the host of heaven that from this day forward, I'm a tither and a faithful giver. I will sow liberally into the kingdom of God. Therefore, I will experience a supernatural harvest in every dimension of my life. Increase is mine. God's blessings, your abundant blessings, are mine because I am a faithful steward. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah and amen. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think about that. Maybe listen to it again or send me an email. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. Up at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we'll ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails. And keep thinking rich thoughts. Bye-bye.